an inclusive Savior. Even them, that is the Gentiles, I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and sacrifice shall be accepted on mine altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all people. Now this was predicted 600 years before Jesus came. And when he came, he repeated the same thought.
Stop.
He complained to the priests that instead of making his house a house of prayer for all nations, they had made it exclusive and they had made it a den of thieves. Part number one, a house of prayer for all people. Isaiah predicted that the Gentiles would come, that the sons of the strangers would join themselves, that they would accept all the teachings. The prophecies had declared that the Messiah would be a light to the Gentiles. If you haven't done it, sometime you should take a concordance and look up the term Gentiles and see the dozens of times it appears in the prophecies as being part of the constituents of the believers, of the believers in the Messiah. Then you say to yourself, how on earth could the Jewish people who read the scriptures in their synagogues every week miss this? And then I think to myself, they were intelligent. They were sincere, I hope. Is it possible for us today who are intelligent and sincere to miss some essentials that we should get? Strangers from far countries would hear the name and would pray. Solomon said when he dedicated his temple, they would pray and hear thou in heaven and answer their prayers. Strangers will join themselves to the Lord. Gentiles will come from afar. Just as Naaman came, and the widow of Sarepta came, the Simon of Cyrene came, the eunuch came from Ethiopia, the Greeks came to Jerusalem and said, we would see Jesus. All these New Testament and Old Testament examples are fulfillments of the call of the Spirit to bring strangers and Gentiles into the Commonwealth and Covenant of Israel. Had Israel been faithful, men and women from all nations would continually come to Jerusalem to worship. Isaiah predicted that Gentiles should become sons and daughters of God, that they would love the name of God, that they would keep the Sabbath. When we come to the New Testament church, we see how almost by force God made his disciples preach to and accept in fellowship Gentiles. The first ecumenical council of the church, the discussion was, should Gentiles be given full fellowship? Peter had been given a vision of the sheet let down with all kinds of creatures there. And God showed him that he made no difference between persons. And then he gave him a vision, and he gave Cornelius a vision. They met together, and the Holy Spirit fell on the Gentiles, exactly as it had fallen on the Jews on the day of Pentecost. And so they accepted. But the Jewish people refused. Had a Gentile presumed to enter the inner enclosure of the temple, he would have paid the penalty with his life. In fact, from the ruins of the second temple destroyed by Titus, a plaque has been discovered stating that no Gentile should pass this point on pain of forfeiture of his life. So they had deliberately chosen to ignore the predictions of the Gentiles coming in and make themselves exclusive. The Lord promised that the ceremonies and the sacrifices should be a means of directing His people to Himself. And we see how Ethiopian eunuch had come up to Jerusalem to worship. He was a proselyte. He believed. And evidently had been accepted. But the majority of people refused to accept. In fact, they finally arrested Paul and accused him of having brought a Greek into the temple. They worshipped in the temple. They made the ceremonies and rites as a means to an end, instead of a spiritual finger pointing to the reality of Christ. Spiritual worship had almost disappeared. No link bound the priests and rulers to their gods. So far, they had rejected. God was ready to bring into that place the Gentiles if they would accept Him. Part number two, the need for cleansing. Twice Jesus cleansed the temple. First at the beginning of His ministry, and then at the end of His ministry. In the temple at Jerusalem, a low wall separated the outer court from all other portions of the sacred building. Upon this wall were inscriptions in different languages stating that none but Jews were allowed to pass. He wanted to make this place an open place, drove out all that were making it a merchandise. Cast the money changers, sellers of sacrifices, said, "My house is a house of prayer for all peoples." In effect, take these barriers down. Don't think of your own convenience, your own profit. Bring them in. Near the end of His ministry, when the children were found there singing, the rulers of the temple said, "Tell these children to stop. We've got choirs that should sing here," in effect. Jesus said, "Suffer them. Let them sing. If they don't sing, stones will cry out." All they responded to were the things of life: trade, commerce, Mammon, under the disguise of a form of religion. They did not want the reality that was back of it: prayer, spirit, truth. Today we see substitutes put in for real worship the present time. There are kinds of services being concocted in various churches in which feeling and form and excitement take the place of thought, meditation, and prayer. If you feel good, the service has done you good. You can feel good by having a happy fellowship meal in your home. You can feel good by having a picnic on the seashore or up in the mountains. Religion is much more than feeling. The rulers of the temple had made substitutes for the God who is worshipped in spirit and truth. Real worshippers are internal worshippers, not interested in the external, the exciting, the show. So when the Lord cleansed the temple, He was trying to teach them that the Messiah had a ministry of worship also. This concept of talismanic religion was not new. The people in Isaiah's time, in Jeremiah's time, we're looking to the temple as a talisman too. We got a temple. We got a whole show going on here. It's sacrifices, feasts, meals, singing, excitement, multitudes of people, temple, the temple, the temple of the Lord are these. Nothing is going to destroy it. These false prophets maintained that God would never allow the temple, his dwelling place, to fall into the hands of profane enemies. With a kind of charm to protect the city and the inhabitants. Similarly, today, many church members trust in external church connections for salvation, more ready to outward religious activities than for the inner preparation of the heart. Part number 4. Priests and scribes respond. The priests conducted worship, the scribes were the Bible scholars. So there are two categories of believers here. Those who conducted worship their way, the response they got from the people their way. And it's interesting to listen to some preachers, television, radio, how they work their congregation up. They got a technique, certain things they say, certain loaded words, certain ideas. They can get tremendous excitement, certain promises they make, certain music at the right time of a certain quality. They can work the congregation up to do their will. There were priests who had conducted worship in the temple so they could get the people to live the kind of lives that their materialistic concepts appreciated. Then there were scribes. Scribes were the caretakers of the scriptures. They were the Bible scholars. They interpreted the teachings of the Bible to their will. And so the scribes and the priests rejected. And then the worshippers were babes. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings I will perfect praise. Not out of the mouths of these trained singers and performers and preachers. And so God wants the simple, except he become as a little child, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. The sound of these happy, unrestrained voices was an offense to the rulers of the temple. They set about putting a stop to such demonstrations. They represented to the people that the house of God was desecrated by the feet of children and the shouts of rejoicing. Finding that their words made no impression on the people, they appealed to Christ. But Christ was not ready to fit in with their program. He had something better, higher, richer. Part number 5, the temple restored. When Christ had cleared out the merchants, he had cleared out the scribes and the rulers of the temple, got the children singing, the blind and the lame filled the temple. The needy came there. Those who couldn't see were now ready to listen to the light of the world as he opened their eyes. Those who couldn't walk, they were lame, now saw the way and were given the power of grace to walk in the way. The children whose understanding was simple and fresh sang praises to their Creator. Those who called themselves his followers may despise and shun the outcasts, but no circumstance of birth or nationality or condition of life can turn away the love from the children of men. God loves, God gives, God's grace, God's Spirit draws, God's faith empowers men to change, and the transformation of the gospel takes place. And then these people proclaimed in the Messiah, Hosanna to the Son of David, proclaimed by children, proclaimed by the poor and the lame and the halt and the blind. And the children who proclaimed it loudest could not be accused of sedition. And so God got a message through by those who could not accuse them. Prophecy had foretold that Christ should be proclaimed king. Word must be fulfilled. The priests and the Levites, the rulers, refused to herald the glory. God moved upon children to be his witness. Again, the temple of God proclaimed with children's voices, Hosanna to the Son of David. The rulers of the temple had their ritual, they had their sacrifice, They have their merchants who sold certified animals that were guaranteed clean. The prophet had declared long before, I don't want sacrifice. I want mercy. I don't want burnt offerings. I want a knowledge of God. So the ritualistic, formalistic worship that they had established that had nothing to do with the inner consciousness, with the spirit of truth and righteousness, the infilling of the Holy Ghost, that kind of religion Christ condemned. And Christ was hated by those who promulgated it. Part number 6. To the humble, believing soul, the house of God on earth is the gate of heaven. The song of praise, the prayer, the words spoken by Christ's representatives are God's appointed agencies to prepare a people for the church above. Let me repeat. The song of praise, the prayer, the words spoken by Christ's representatives are God's appointed worship, appointed agencies to prepare a people for the church above, for their loftier worship. The ingredients of this kind of worship, the songs of praise, prayers, and words spoken by Christ's representatives. This is the simple organization of worship that God wishes. This will prepare a people for the church above, for that loftier worship into which they can enter, in which can enter nothing that defileth. Nothing that is sacred, nothing that pertains to the worship of God, should be treated with carelessness or indifference.